Hello, everyone. This is Rick Gentry, your host for another hour of Marketplace Saturday here on bpnradio.com. And we're excited to have a special guest today, Scott McNeil. And he's my special guest today. And Scott, he works for Spiral Drill, and it's a company that manufactures drilling equipment that is used primarily in the utility construction field and the oil field and the infrastructure development of industry. Scott gives oversight to all sales operation of the company, as well as vendor relationships, marketing, and growth objectives, both domestically and internationally. Scott, welcome to Marketplace Saturday. Excited to have you here. And so we're just going to talk a little bit about business. We want to help business people. That's our heart. We feel like that's what we're called to do. So, Scott, tell me a little bit, maybe start back with your background even before Spiral Drill. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved in business and ministry.
Well, appreciate you having me. My story is probably a little bit different than most that you would hear, in the sense that it's not how you would draw it up. I didn't go to college. I didn't graduate high school. I originally wanted to be a pastor, and my heart was for ministry. And very quickly got married, and we had kids, and was busy working, and never really thought I would be doing this. A lot of my path has been disjointed and hard to piece together at times. And honestly, I've had seasons of real frustration, times where I remember just crying out to the Lord and saying, you know, I'm not trying to win the lottery. I'm not trying to be greedy, but real frustration, because I really just wanted to be a good dad and take care of my family. And even at that time, it seemed difficult to do that. And, you know, thankful that I'm able to look back and see that there have been frustrating seasons. There have been times where jobs were just jobs. They weren't careers. And I can look back and I can see God was working a plan from even when I was a kid, tying up different experiences, different contacts, different skills, and putting things together that I wouldn't even know that I needed for years down the road. And more than it being me sticking to a script or following a certain motivational speaker or anything like that, I think that if there's one thing I could say, I've just been very blessed by a God that loves me, that looks out for me, because I don't deserve to have any of the success that I have in my life. And he's been really good at taking care of me, more than me bringing anything to the table.
That's awesome, Scott. I know you might tell us a little bit about your family as well. And I call Scott Coach McNeil because he also works with the South Austin Warriors in our basketball program. He's one of our coaches, does an amazing job with the high school girls program and the junior high girls program. But tell me a little bit about your family.
Very, very blessed to have my wife Denise, four great kids. Kind of a weird story how that happened too, in the sense that I had my mind set on being a missionary. I wanted to go overseas and go to Bible college, and never wanted to get married, never wanted to have kids. It wasn't part of the plan. I ended up meeting my wife at a Harvest Crusade, which would be the equivalent to like the Billy Graham Crusade or something like that. It sounds silly, but I knew the day I met her I wanted to marry her. I never met anybody like her in my life. The easiest person to talk to, just a heart of gold, and no other way of saying it, I could just tell there was a fit there. I remember going home and telling my family, I met this girl tonight, I want to get married. And you can imagine if your 18-year-old kid came home and said that, how you would probably react. That was about the same reaction that my family had. But best part of my life by far. She's a great, great woman. We started having kids early and often. So we had four kids in 5 years. I've got the three older ones that are all boys. And then my youngest is Abby, who you know through basketball as well. But obviously the best part of my life.
That's awesome, Scott. I did want to ask you as well, what was one of your biggest challenges when you started in business?
Oh, gosh. Well, I didn't have any formal training. Like I mentioned, I always did really well in school, but about halfway through school, my life took a real left turn. I grew up going to Christian school. I grew up being in a Christian family. By the time I was about a sophomore in high school, I got to the place where I needed to make this my own. And to be completely honest, I saw a lot of people around me struggling, Christians, struggling in family life, struggling in every area of their life. And I remember asking them, so why do you do this? You know, this seems hard. This seems difficult. There's no real joy in this. Why are you doing this? And I'll never forget them looking at me and saying, you know, I'm not real sure. And I said, well, then I'm not going to. And so I really went off the deep end. And I went from, you know, really having a straight line, I thought, to what a successful life would look like, to going off the deep end, getting mixed up in a lot of different things. I ended up not going to college, not graduating high school. So by the time I ended up coming back and really making my Christian faith something that was real, something that was vibrant, I was married, I had kids, and at that point, I was just trying to survive. And I hadn't had the time to get any formal training. And so I was in positions where I was having to work really, really hard, sometimes multiple jobs, as I eventually worked into management, having to kind of learn as I did things. And then you take the combination of not having any real formal training, no real mentorship, and then the pressure of trying to do all that at a young age and provide for a family, it was overwhelming. Honestly, I spent a lot of time really overwhelmed and feeling like, you know, I had kind of missed my chance to do this the right way. And so I kind of always had that feeling like I was drowning. And it's taken time to learn, to grow, and to surround myself with people that can help me grow.
Scott, that's awesome. I know this would be good for a lot of listeners here on Marketplace Saturday, that you could give some insight to maybe one thing or a couple things that you feel that has made you very successful.
There are a number of things that have helped. I think going through some of those hard times has helped me develop a tenacity. You know, being desperate makes you work hard. And I didn't have a lot of other choices. I didn't have a plan B. I had kids that needed to be fed, and I had to make it happen. You know,
right.
I didn't have an option to fail. I had to work really hard. And while I early on kind of resented being in that position, after a while I realized that this was the Lord's way of developing in me some of the character, and that knowledge is wonderful, experience is great, but there's not a real great substitute for character. And that's something that has to be instilled in each of us. And unfortunately, the way we are all wired, we seem to do or learn the most and develop the most character in the hardest situations. And so early on, I felt like my struggles were a result of me not doing something right and not following the script. And for me, I don't know about everybody else, but for me, I needed that. I needed God to work in me, not only so that I would have the character to work harder and those kinds of things, but also so that I would grow closer to him through all that.
Scott, that's encouraging. I appreciate that. Also, I wanted to ask you, what would you say to folks listening to Marketplace Saturday if they were wanting to start their own business? What would be some of the keys that you would share?
You know, it's funny. It's a lot of the same things that we tell the girls in basketball. We tell them all the time, don't be afraid to struggle long enough to succeed. You know, we tell them that it's about a team. It's not just about you going as fast as you can, but to surround yourself with people that are like-minded, to embrace being humbled at times, and to push yourself harder than you've ever pushed yourself. That's one of the reasons that I like coaching with you, or that I like being involved with young people, is because these kinds of lessons, we can teach them through sports, but these are the lessons you need when you're starting a business. These are the lessons you need when you're getting married. It's hard. The stuff we do is hard. You know, every day I go to work, it's not easy. And, you know, a lot of really good things are happening at work. We're growing, and there's a lot of positive energy and emotion with what we're doing, but it's still hard. And I love being married, and it's hard. And I've started businesses, and we've had some great successes there. But it's hard. And I would encourage them to know that very often in life, if you go back and look at the stories of the Bible, or you look at your life, look at my life, very few important, lasting things happen quickly. And that's true in business, too. And it's okay to build. It's okay to work towards something. And sometimes that can be a really long road. And, you know, one other thing that's really important is early on, I really felt like the goal was to get it right, to do these things in a certain way. And I realized that it's not always just perfect, A, and then B, and then C, and then D. Sometimes it's a little bit all over the place, and it's okay. As long as you're moving forward, it's okay. You know, I think that if you look at the Old Testament is so much about God working inside the box, right? There's certain days, there's certain rituals, there's certain people, there's certain things like that. And the message of the New Testament, so much of that is that everything is spiritual. Doing laundry is spiritual. Going to work is spiritual. That was a huge lesson for me. That encouraged me that God is as passionate about working in my business and me mentoring that person at work as he is about the missionary in China or the ministry in the urban cities or anything like that. God is passionate about our work. And being reminded that he is working at my work and that he cares about my career and it's not just what I do, it really helped me relax and understand that there's a rhythm to what he's doing in my life and that I can work hard and I can be tenacious and I can really get after it, but at the same time I can have that peace of knowing that I'm doing this with him and he's putting people and customers and contacts in my life every day for whatever purpose he has. It takes a lot of burden off because as hard as this all is, it's nice to know it's not all on my shoulders. Does that make sense?
Scott, that's excellent. That's a lot of insight. One thing I'll add, just for me personally, I would say you're extremely consistent. I think that that's something that a lot of people struggle with. I think it's so important for us to be consistent, and it's something we have to, you know, work on every day. There's always a new day. But also I wanted to ask you, just, and this could be just not just in business, but anything, what do you get excited about every day? What's what makes your day exciting?
That's an easy one. Growth. I love to be a part of making people or things grow. In speaking with the owner of our company, it was great because I came into a company that really was primed to experience some growth. And so I got to do a lot of things. That was great, but I always told him, hey, if we ever get to a point where now we're just maintaining, we're just kind of running the play, we're not really growing, that's going to be my time to get out. And it's the same thing when it comes to coaching. I like seeing players grow. I don't just want to get a win and go home. I like seeing them grow. I like seeing people grow. So for me, that's a very important part of everything that I do. And to be honest, when I ask myself if I'm willing to commit time to this project, to this job, to this relationship, to this hobby, that's a question I always ask myself is, do I really see this as a place, a person, a time that I can help grow? If it is, I'm fired up about it.
That's awesome. Scott, also, we talk about success, and you know, it's different things for different people. But if you could elaborate a little bit on just a few things that you feel like, and they may be simple things, but I think people sometimes, they need direction on how to be successful. So could you elaborate a little bit more on that as well?
Sure. I think the first part, if you would ask me that, would be defining what success is. It's really hard to hit a target if you don't know what the target is. And for me, and everybody may have a different answer, but for me, success is about relationships and the people that I'm tied in with. I care about the people that are in my life, and I think they're there for a reason. So the reason that I work hard, the reason that I want to make money, the reason I want to see things grow is because I really want to have the best relationships I can. I want to be able to financially invest in people's lives. I want to be able to have the time to invest in people's lives. I want to be able to have the experiences in life to where I can actually help someone. It all ties back for me into relationships. Now, everybody else may have different answers on what that looks like, but having clarity as to what is the most important thing in your life will make determining all of the other sub-goals and processes a lot easier. And for me, I've chased a lot of different things. Early on when I first got married, I just wanted to survive. I remember the first month we paid our bills, I was ecstatic. Our budget was $1,200 a month. It included rent and food and everything else. Right. And I just wanted to live. And then after a while, your goals get bigger. They change. You have different priorities. We wanted to be able to do certain things for our kids, that we wanted, whatever, right? And so those have changed. But as I've chased different things over the years, I've seen some are a little more worthwhile than others. And by far, it's been easy to really focus in on the people in my life.
Scott, I know one thing that people are always interested to hear listening to Marketplace Saturday is when we talk to business owners or people that are successful in business, I like to ask them, what was one thing that maybe you would do different when you first started in your business? And that would help others to not maybe stumble when they're starting a business or they're in business. I think it's, again, some great building points that would help people that are maybe just starting business.
Oh, how long is this time? Because I can give you about 30 different things I'd like to do different. As I mentioned earlier, I've had to learn a lot through making mistakes. And there are a lot of experiences that were extremely valuable for me, most of them coming from mistakes. But one thing that I continue to learn every day that I didn't know back then that I wish I had was the importance of working at the pace of your team. I'm very ambitious. I like to run a million miles an hour, and that's fantastic, but there are very few businesses and very few careers that you can do 100% by yourself. At some point, you're going to have to tie in with a client, another employee, a boss, someone. At some point, you're going to interact with another person, and you have to be sensitive to working at the pace that you can work at as a team. You've seen that in basketball, where one player's got all the skills in the world, and they can do a million things, but at the end of the day, it's the other five against that one player. And it really comes down to how well and how fast those five people can work together to accomplish a common goal. Mm-hmm. And going slower to understand not just the benefits and the things that the other people in the group bring to the table, but also the limitations, the concerns, the fears even. Taking time to understand that and sync up as a group and work together at the same pace is something that has really changed the trajectory of our company and quite honestly the enjoyment of what we do. It's tiring to go a million miles an hour and then turn around and be frustrated that you've left everyone in the dust. And it breeds resentment and inefficiency. And going a little bit slower, working as a team, is so much more enjoyable.
Well, that's very insightful, because most people think they're not working hard enough, and so they're always burning the candle at both ends, and pretty soon they're burned out. So that was a great word. I hope everybody listens to that. Sometimes when you do take your time and slow down, you're much more efficient. Scott, another question for you would be, who was the one person, or maybe it was two people, that was the biggest influence in your life growing up?
Wow. So my grandfather, that's who my oldest son is named after, really stepped out. My parents divorced early, and there was a pretty big void there. He really came into my life and was pretty important. It's probably the easiest way of saying that. A lot of my desires, even in business, come from him. He had the mind of an entrepreneur. And often, even as a little boy, we would go have lunch, we would drive around and do errands, we would spend time together. Nothing official, just spending time together. But as we did that, he would point things out. And something I tell my kids all the time is, you can make money a million different ways. Making money isn't hard. Staying focused is hard. And if you can train your eyes to see what's happening around you, you can see inefficiencies, you can see opportunities. And as we would just run errands and go around, he would show me those things. He would point out, hey, do you see this? This place would run a lot better if they do this. Hey, do you see that? Look at that opportunity. And he would from the time I was a little boy, take time to really help me see what's in front of me. And a lot of people even now will tell me that's something I'm good at. Well, I don't think that was just a happenstance. I think that he really helped to nurture that in me. Another person that was a huge help in my life happened a little bit later, and his name was Brad Lambert. He was a pastor, and when I was about 20 years old, I was married. I had another kid on the way, so our second kid was on the way. I was working 60 hours a week, and I was tired. And to be honest, it just seemed like there was no light in the tunnel. You know, you work really, really hard to pay all the bills that month, only to do it again the next month. And every day seemed like Groundhog Day. It was just a struggle every single day. I worked hard, and it's really hard to continue working hard and being frustrated when you don't see light at the end of the tunnel, or it doesn't seem like there's any real meaning to what you're doing. And I remember on my birthday, actually, I was being kind of miserable, and my wife was getting the house ready for a birthday party for me, and she said, "Hey, why don't you just leave for a little while?" And I went down to the church where I was at. They had a bookstore, and I was there with a friend, and he said, "Hey, you don't look like you. You know, what's going on?" And I looked at him, and I said, "Hey, you know, I'll be completely honest with you. I don't want to go to hell, right? But I don't know how to make this Christian thing work. And I feel like I'm stuck in between, where I'm not having any victory in my life. And I believe all the right things, but translating that into my daily life, my daily struggles, this isn't happening. It's not computing. What am I missing?" And just as, you know, the Lord would have it, his uncle was across the street at a pizza place. We went over to say hi, and he said the same thing. "Hey, you look terrible." And normally I don't just come on out with things, but I said, "Hey, you know, this is where I'm at." And he sat down and he said, "You know what, I really want to explain to you the joy that is in the gospel. And the gospel isn't just that Jesus came and died for your sins. He could have done that in a weekend, right? He was here for a long time. Why? Why did Jesus go through so much effort to relate to us? What is he doing now? What does grace look like? What is this new covenant we hear about in the New Testament?" And he really started explaining to me what all has been opened up to us. Nobody had ever done that before. And it made things that normally didn't seem that important really important. And he gave a real sense of meaning to all sorts of things, including work, family, those kinds of things. So those are probably the two most influential people in my life. I'll never forget them. And those are two things I really try to pass on to the people around me and to my kids, is the idea of just what's happening around them, how many opportunities are around them, and also just the fullness that we've been given as Christians.
Thank you, Scott, for that. And where did you grow up at?
Near San Diego.
Oh, okay. Great weather state.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And you've been in Texas for how many years?
Oh, it's been 12 or 13 years.
Wow. Wow.
Never thought we'd be here, but I'm super glad we are.
Well, and you guys live out in the big city of Bastrop, which is a thriving community, growing a lot.
Mm-hmm. It has.
Well, I did want to remind our listeners, if you guys would like to possibly host a show on Marketplace Saturday, please contact me, Rick Gentry, and we can talk about that, and I'd love to help you if that's something that is in your heart. Before we go, Scott, I just want to say thank you so much. This was a wonderful interview. So many nuggets that you were able to communicate to our listeners, and I feel like this is going to help a lot of folks. I did want to ask if you would pray for all of our business men and women today. Before you go, and say a prayer for them, and we'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend some time with Rick. I thank you for the things he's taught me. Lord, I thank you just for the ways that you work in all of our lives, and I pray that whatever it is that we're pursuing, that you've given us as work today, whether we're at home, whether we're at the office, I pray you would give all of us a sense of meaning, and knowing that you have us there for a reason, it's not just a paycheck. I pray that you would encourage us to look at our job and the people around us, our customers, our coworkers, with the eyes that you have, you know, we would see opportunities not just for business, but for interaction, for purpose. And I pray that you would encourage so many of us that struggle consistently. I pray that you would continue to make our time outside of church important too. So use us at work, use us at home, and use us when we're together with our families. I pray for everyone that's listening that they would be encouraged and blessed, and that you would bring people into their life to encourage them and surround them and bring out the best in them. Thank you for doing that in my life, and pray that you would use me and the people that I come into contact with to bring out the best in them and to help people grow. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Scott McNeil, thank you, sir. You have been listening to...
Thanks, Rick.
Yes, sir. You've been listening to Marketplace Saturday with your host, Rick Gentry. Have a good day. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ian Kieber with today's business tip right here on Marketplace Saturday. Today's four tips actually come from business leader Tony Robbins, the four tips to building a business that lasts. Number one, focus on innovation. Innovative businesses meet the needs of their clients in a unique way. In order to be sustainable, you must continually innovate and evolve. Number two, focus on marketing. Good marketing requires that you first understand the true benefits of your product. Next, you must have a clear idea of what your customers actually want. With this complementary knowledge base, you can create powerful marketing that will get your prospects' attention. Number three, find your differentiation. Now look hard at the market, then alter your offering to satisfy customer needs. By differentiating your offering, your business will stand out. And number four, maintain your drive. You must maintain proper motivation in order to innovate, market your product, and differentiate your offering. Building a business requires commitment, and maintaining your drive is a key component. Show up to the office every day with the same passion and energy you had when you first started. Now, for those of you who want to take a deeper look into his teaching, just search out Tony Robbins on YouTube or anywhere online, and you can find a lot of his teachings. But don't rely on Robbins or any other guru's teachings for that matter. Even with good mentors and teachers, advice will only take you so far. More important is the implementation of that advice. Thank you so much for joining us for today's business tip on Marketplace Saturday.
This is Allison Kieber with your success tip. Today's success tip comes from Dale Carnegie. A person's name is the sweetest sound. Today's tip: remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. Dale Carnegie was a smart man. He lived his life in terms of other people. He laughed, he cried, and he cared about them. One way Mr. Carnegie often showed his respect was by using people's names instead of the over-often used, hey. Using a person's name is crucial, especially when meeting those who don't see very often. Respect and acceptance stem from simple acts such as remembering a person's name and using it whenever appropriate. That's why Dale Carnegie came up with an easy strategy for remembering names, the Lyra formula. L, look and listen. Try as hard as you can to focus on a person speaking and make sure you understand very clearly what their name is. I, impression. Create an impression in your head of what that person looks like. This includes physical features or the surroundings and situation in the moment. R, repetition. Repeat the person's name as many times as possible in the conversation. Use it when it's appropriate. Use it when you are saying goodbye to that person. Afterwards, repeat it in your head as much as possible. And A, association. Make associations of physical characteristics, names, or landmarks. Objects, buildings, companies. Use color nouns and similar words to help you remember the name, as humans remember things better in pictures. After using this, remembering names becomes much easier. Use names with everyone you interact with. Practice this and make it a habit. This is Allison Kieber for Marketplace Saturday and your success tip.